Wake up, everybody. It's time for the best new podcast with the best new country artists in the world. It's time for Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and join me for the next half an hour as I take you on a journey with one of my favorite new country artists.
That's right. Good morning and welcome into Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard. And today I'm joined by one of my personal favorites, artist Kyle Clark. This is a guy that I first found out about through the Tree Vibes Music Instagram page. Great follow. If you're looking for new country music, they post a lot of stuff that their writers have worked on. And Kyle Clark released his debut EP back in April, worked on it with a bunch of Tree Vibes Music writers. Producer Jordan Schmidt found him. He'll talk a lot about Jordan and the impact he's had on his career. So that's how I found out about it. I played it on my show. Really love the song Dirt Rich. The rest of the EP is great as well. So Kyle's got an interesting story. He's from a small town in Georgia. Played music in high school, played football too, you know, pretty classic upbringing. Ended up opening for Darius Rucker and Kane Brown, and he really made a name for himself through that. And then locally in Athens on the radio. And then he moved to Nashville, you know, hooked up with Jordan Schmidt, got his EP produced, really made waves through that TVM connection. And then recently he just got signed to Sony Music ATV Nashville publishing deal. So huge news for Kyle Clark. Really starting to take off. That EP is fantastic. Go check it out right now if you have it, and then come listen to the conversation or listen to the conversation first, whatever you want. But that's coming up right now. My conversation with Kyle Clark.
Hey, Kyle, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. What about you?
I kind of woke up a little later today. Didn't have a ride, so I just made some coffee and some breakfast myself and started working on a track.
Nice. So you just signed a big deal with Sony. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, really just I'm so excited about everything going on over there, like just all the changes with Rusty coming in and being the new president over there. It's just a really good group of people. I'm just really, really excited about what's to come being over there and working with those people.
Yeah, so what exactly does that mean for your career then? Where does that put you?
You know, I right now have been focused on songwriting. So I think for my career, at least, it's getting me in a lot of rooms with a lot of people in town and just kind of creating those friendships and those relationships that I hope to just continue, you know, through over the years and continue working with those people. I think that's really the biggest thing with signing over there is the opportunities, I feel like are endless over at Sony ATV.
Totally. I mean, you had a huge opportunity and I think you capitalized it with your debut EP. You did that with Jordan Schmidt, right?
Yeah. And the way that kind of came about, it's just a really, really cool story how it all unfolded. Jordan, was kind of he's been writing in town and, you know, has 5 number ones now. I'm sure that there'll be more added to that list, by the end of the year. But like, he just kind of was expanding a little bit and was kind of wanting to reach out and see if he could find an artist or a writer that he could sign or like work with. And so I don't know necessarily all the details, but I know that, there were kind of a couple people in the interview process or people that he kind of met with and they just didn't work out. And whenever we met, you know, and I got to show him some of my music and just, the stuff that I was writing, and working on and producing myself, he was just very impressed and wanted to get me in a room with a couple writers and see how I did. And two of those songs on the EP we wrote like in the same weekend. It was like the first time we wrote together. It was Sundown to Sun Up was the first song I wrote with him and Andy Albert, and that's the first song I've like written in Nashville, which also was just kind of a cool moment. And then First Time Feels was our third song, or at least the second between me and Jordan, but it was like the third song I wrote in Nashville with him and Matt McGinn. And he was like, yeah, like basically just believed in me from that point on. We've been writing together ever since, and he's producing my stuff now. So it's been a great situation.
Yeah, that's sure. Awesome. Now, did you think that you would join TVM after all that? Because you co-wrote all the songs with Tree Vibes Music Writers.
Yeah, I was not really sure what was going to happen. I kind of was just like, I came to town and I didn't really know necessarily where I'd be signing. I knew that hopefully something would be coming around the corner, and there was a lot of interested parties. It ended up lining up with Sony ATV just because Jordan signed a joint venture with Sony ATV and Tree Vibes. And so it kind of got, you know, he introduced me to his brother, Dane Schmidt, who is the creative director over at Sony ATV. And when we met, it was I just feel like everything kind of aligned. I felt like all the people fell right into place, and everybody seemed to believe. And I think Dane believed in me because Jordan believed so like heavily in me. And so I think that's kind of how it all came into place.
Okay. So then is the end goal still to be a singer, though? You don't just want to be a songwriter.
Yeah, I know that it's kind of a weird time that we're in right now.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to get back on stage. It's been a while since I have played any shows. Just because I came to town, I think I got focused on writing and just doing that, and now I've kind of dipped into the production side of things as well. But yeah, it's like the artist, it's kind of weird. The artist thing's been on the back burner when that was what originally was like my front running thing. I think that once all this is over, that I will get back into the artist thing just because we have music out. We're pushing for that. That's what the end goal is. I just think this, and we, you know, the plans have changed just because of coronavirus and, it's just everything shut down. So there were meetings we were going to have. There were, you know, just things that didn't get to happen, and shows that we were kind of planning on. Like, you know, it was nothing announced yet, but it was just like there were things that were kind of in the scheme of things, but it just never unfolded. So I'm hoping that next year in 2021, some of that stuff can actually happen.
Right, and you released this EP right in kind of the thick of coronavirus and in these uncertain times. Was there any discussion to maybe postpone it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the music we started. We recorded it back in May of last year, so it's been about a year now since we recorded everything. And we kind of, like, I felt like, I don't know if it was just like the timing of things, I kind of wanted to hold off until I got signed to Sony ATV. There were kind of a number, I don't necessarily know why we kind of took the time we waited. We were going to release it in the summer of last year. Then we kind of pushed, and then it came to the end of the year. And they were just like, well, we'll release it in the next quarter. Of the beginning of the year, and kind of kept pushing it, and it was like, you know, all this craziness is going on, and we were planning on March, and then like I think it was the weekend that the whole quarantine happened, we were planning on releasing.
Oh yeah.
And we pulled back on that date, and thankfully we hadn't announced anything. Joey, my manager, was you know, we kind of just were going back and forth. It was just madness, I felt like, trying to figure out when we were going to do all this. It seemed like the right time was to do it now, just because I feel like people need new music. They need good music.
Yep.
And I felt like at least like what I was, and I think being a new artist, it's like, it takes a while for your name to get out there anyways. So like, what better way than just when everybody's streaming stuff, and whether it's, you know, Spotify or Apple Music, or even I would say like Netflix, like I feel like all the streaming services have been like spiking. during this time. And so we were like, let's release it and see what happens. And we've gotten a lot of good traction with playlisters, and just it's cool seeing people that I've never met them before, new fans that are really connecting with the songs. But I think it's just the time. It necessarily didn't matter for us just because there wasn't a tour that we were going to be on. We didn't have like a headlining tour like some of these guys. Like I know Luke Bryan pushed back his album to release in like August now or something. It was supposed to release in like I think May or even somewhere around there, and or I don't know if it was April or May, but basically we just were like, let's get the music out there. Let's go ahead and get my name out there in the community with it, well, on the artist side of things, just because I'd been writing so much. And, I've written probably about 150 to 200 songs, I think, since I've been here. And so we might as well just get this thing rolling.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I remember the first time I played one of your songs on my show. It was a remote episode because obviously not on campus right now. But I mentioned that on Dirt Rich, you say we're small town famous, and I felt like that's kind of an apt description of how you came up from Jefferson and the way I was looking online. You transferred to University of Georgia and kind of gained a following on the radio there and on Spotify. What was it like coming up from a small town and then going to UGA?
I mean I guess it's different. I mean the small town world is, I guess, like, Athens is probably 30 minutes away from my town, so it's not a big, like, I guess, like, geologic, or I guess, I don't know, geographical change, whatever the word is, but so it's not, it's like, it was like in the middle of nowhere. But I think, like, being a town, I think they maybe it's gotten bigger and bigger every time I go back. I feel like something new is being built there. But yeah, I guess like everybody, you go to the gas station, you probably see somebody and they're probably like, oh, I love the new song or whatever, like you're saying, like the small town famous thing, and just going to high school and just all the people that you grew up around are all in that town. And so going to the University of Georgia, it's like a bigger, you're a smaller fish in a bigger pond. And I love that. I always love a challenge like that. But I think that, like, again, I built a following in Athens, but I felt like just the there's just something about, I'm trying to figure out what I'm actually trying to say here with this town thing. I don't know. I mean, I think that they both have special meaning to me, both towns, for what they were and what they did. And I think they were all a part of the journey of getting to Nashville. But yeah, Nashville now is just like it's my home, that's for sure. I just always can't. I can't wait to get back every time because I'll go back to Georgia every now and then, but it's like I can only stay for so long, and I'm ready to be back in Nashville.
Right, you just love it there.
I don't know if that answered necessarily that
It's
the
no,
small
yeah.
town famous question,
Yeah,
but yeah, I do. I feel like a lot of people do connect with that line. Just that song in general, I think, encompasses the Jefferson, and just like the it's like the small town politics, or just like the all the football, I don't know, it's just like all those things. Growing up, it just that song made me feel like it just represented where I come from.
Yeah, so did you grow up a Bulldog fan?
Yeah, I've always been a huge Bulldog fan, and they always seem to break my heart in the end,
Yeah,
but I still love those dogs, that's for sure.
that's the way it goes, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it they I think since I mean ever since I can remember, my dad was taking me to games. At least it was like probably once a season. He'd always somehow put together some money to get some like pretty good tickets, and or for a pretty good game too. So I feel like it's always kind of been instilled to me to be a Bulldog, and that was kind of my driving passion for going to school there.
Yeah, so you transferred there. Did people know who you were when you got there for music, or was it kind of an unknown?
I felt like there were some people, and it's partly just like people that I grew up around, and I think, you know, it's a small world, that's for sure. Like, yep. Everywhere you go, there's somebody that knows you, and I had a couple people that were like, there was a person that that I'd known. It's, and I think a lot of the sorority and fraternity stuff, and I wasn't in one, but like, those people were really good about sharing the music and kind of getting my name around campus a little bit. So that's kind of, I don't know, I guess that's kind of how I did spread around campus a good bit. But yeah, when I got there, it felt like I had like new territory to kind of conquer.
Yeah, right. That's always a good thing. So you started releasing music while you were in high school too, which is pretty early.
Yeah. So the first song I released was and again, it's not, I don't think anything's available. I think we pulled everything off. My first song was like in 2015, and that was the first time I got to actually record in a studio. It was in Watkinsville, Georgia, which is kind of close to Athens. And it was like just that first experience of doing that. And I kind of just like felt like that fire for what I was doing. And I think, so it was a song about the football team and our rivalry with, the team across town. And all the football players and basically the whole entire town, which kind of is what, like the small town famous like thing, that's kind of where it all starts is that song,
right? Right.
That I released back in 2015. And yeah, they played it in the stadiums on Friday nights. They played it for the JV games. They played it for like any kind of rec league games they had going on in the stadium. And it was just really cool, like, to be playing on Friday night, and at halftime, you know, my song would be playing on the speakers.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was definitely cool.
So would you ever re-release that song, you think, or is it just too far below where you're at now?
I think that it's just a part of the journey.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that's kind of my direction anymore. I think that song had its purpose, and I think like all songs have their purpose in whatever way it is. But I'm thankful for that song, and I'm thankful that's the start to where I am now and where hopefully I'll be. I think songs, they all have a special place, and that one does. And I think that it's going to stay, you know, unreleased and just be what was a part of the journey.
Sure. I'm sure a couple people still have copies of it.
Yeah, there's a couple hard copies that made its way around town that I did. I made a bunch for the football team and just kind of people in town and handed them out.
Yeah, yeah. So you played football, you were singing. Was music always the goal, or, you know, were you like, oh, maybe I'll make the NFL? You know, was there something else too?
Well, I mean, being a 5'10".
Sure.
I wasn't, you know, I didn't think that I'd, I think at some point, whenever I stopped growing, I was like, man, I don't think it's gonna happen. I need to start doing the music. But I always loved football. I think football, there's a lot of great things that I learned, and it's just like, you know, that I feel like everybody that plays a sport, they get that kind of like, when you get knocked down, you know, you just got to get back up and try again. And just figure out, you know, a new way to like conquer whatever that goal is. And I think that kind of went into my work ethic and in music, and just always like crafting and always like not being satisfied, you know, just like keep on crafting, keep on making it the best that it can be. And when people say no, you know, just keep on working at it.
Yeah, I mean, because you auditioned for The Voice, right? And that was, you got declined from that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that concept.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really great, I haven't thought about that in a long time. But that was like 2017. I got an email from one of their, I guess, like talent people or something. And they were like, we'd love to have you come out to our callback round. So I didn't have to do the cattle call and wait for 7 hours.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah. So I went and did that, and I showed up, my sang, and they were just like, you're not what we're looking for. And I took it as like a challenge of like, okay, well, I'm just going to take that and like, you know, just make it my fuel to the fire. And I think that I worked even harder after that moment, and ended up, I think it was that same year that I got to open up for Darius Rucker at Verizon Wireless, and Kane Brown at Coca-Cola Roxy in Atlanta. So I think that, you know, it just only pushed me harder whenever I got that no.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge motivation. What was it like opening up for those guys? Cause those are huge opportunities.
They're my inspirations for sure. And they're people that I look up to every day, especially like it's cool now just because I'm kind of in the same, I feel like I'm a little bit closer into the industry than I was back then, or I'm in it now, but, at least to be, you know, backstage and get to talk to those guys. Cause I think the Darius Rucker one, I you know, like just being backstage and having the same area of dressing room and all like, you know, like the catering of food or whatever it was that they had, they did for us. And then getting to like hang out with Darius after the show, like it was just kind of, and get to talk to him and just kind of tell, I tried not to be a fangirl, but it was just it was definitely like a cool experience, and like just growing up listening to him, whether it was country music that he had done or Hootie and the Blowfish, it was just a cool experience. And then Kane Brown, that guy, I definitely like, I became just like such an even more like bigger of a fan whenever I got to open for him, which that one was probably the best show that I've ever gotten to be a part of. I was like the supporting role, like supporting act, for him. So it was like right before he came on. So like the whole place is filled out at like, it's like 3,600 or something.
That's,
it was
pretty
like sold
good,
out.
Yeah.
And man, it was just like the feeling of that, like just it just was like, I want to do this, you know, I want to make this my like job. I want to go like play these shows every night. And be on that level. So I think that was like another driving moment. But like I was saying, with like being a even bigger fan of Kane, after the show, we hung out, backstage, like, cause our rooms were like right across from each other. And, we were just hanging out, and like, he was just talking to me about like what I needed to do to like make it to Nashville and like start playing more shows like this. He was just like, giving me all this advice, and I took it to heart and took everything he said and just kind of held on to that, and you know, and really just took advantage, I guess, like took, you know, what he said and tried to run with it. He also gave me a shout out on his Instagram, which was a really awesome thing too.
Yeah.
He just like, we took a picture together, and like he threw my like at name on the story. And I had like people just flooding in, like people from the show that like they figured out what my name was because it was the first time they'd seen me play. They didn't know, like, I guess it was also just so loud, everything. I have no idea how it actually sounded out there, but
sure.
It seemed like people liked it, you know. So I had just like, all these people flooding in, like getting messages and like new followers and new fans. So it was just a really inspiring and like humbling moment.
What did you play?
Like songs?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I should have played more covers, that's for sure. I played a lot of originals, and I feel like, you know, some people are like, I don't know what the song is, but it's pretty cool. Where can I find it? And a lot of them hadn't been released yet too. And I was just, you know, so just, I think I learned a lot about, like, you know, how to also, like, gain, you know, I guess, like, get, you know, it's like, I don't know if it's like control the crowd or what, you know, get that the crowd's stage attention. Presence. And, yeah. There was just a lot like of learning curves, man. Cause like going from like playing in a bar or playing on like some 100 crowd room, like going from that to 3,000, is definitely a huge jump.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think there's a lot of learning curves, and I think, I'm glad that I got to see that and see how I kind of did in that moment. I'm trying to think what else was in that question?
It was just, what did you play? What were some of the covers that you did?
Well, so I played, trying to think, it's like 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
I did play Like the World's Gonna End. And that was the standout song out of the whole thing. Like, people put on their phone lights for it, and I was just like, nobody knew the song. It was the first time anybody had ever heard the song, and people were pulling out their phone lights, and like, it was the biggest response I gotten the whole night. Just like people, like, you know, whistling and like clapping after I'd finished the song. And I knew like from that moment that it was special. And I knew it from the beginning, I guess, that it was a special song. But I think whenever you've got people that have never heard the song before, just like at a Kane Brown concert, they're ready to see Kane Brown. And the fact that they were paying attention to the opener that they've never heard of, I just felt like it was a special moment.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
It also was around Christmas time, so I sang Silent Night with it was a charity event, so we had people, like their patients or like that had like recovered from Children's Healthcare of Atlanta.
Okay.
And so I actually got to bring out this little girl named Sydney. She was like 5 years old and had like multiple heart surgeries, and just like a warrior, that's for sure. Like, just like super strong girl, and you know, got to meet her, and like, you know, she wanted to sign her autograph on, you know, whatever, like, she didn't want my autograph, she wanted to give me an autograph. And but I had her come out on stage with her parents as well, and we sang Silent Night, and kind of just like the crowd just, you know, they melted with her up there singing. Especially just like everything that she's gone through, it was like awesome to get to do that for her.
You still have her autograph?
I believe so. Yeah, it's on like a ticket to the show.
That's awesome.
Because she had her like it was like the ticket or whatever to get into the concert, and she was like, I think they said something that I think her parents were like, oh, do you want his autograph? And she was like, no, I'll sign it, and then gave me the ticket or whatever. And yeah, it was just all around, like that whole entire experience was amazing.
So you talked about like Kane Brown and Darius Rucker being influences. More than influences, if you were to just open up your Spotify right now, what would be playing? Just who do you like listening to?
Well, I really love the new Jordan Davis EP that just came out. I think that Church in a Chevy is my favorite song right now. Like,
yep.
that song gave me chills, and it still gives me chills, and I've like heard it probably 50 times now, just because it like came out like last Friday.
It's really good.
Yeah, I think he is probably one of my he's one of my new favorites to listen to, and I love his album that he did, the first one he did as well, but like this new music, I feel like it's just like a jump. It feels just so good. I love listening to Khalid. I think like everything that he does is awesome. So out of the country, you know, into pop a little bit. But I also think Hardy is everything he's doing is amazing. I love the new song that he put out, the I think Boots is what
it's
called.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
It's like he's just like doing, I think like the people that are doing their own thing and they're doing it well are kind of what I'm attracted to listening wise.
And he's the guy who was a songwriter for a long time, you know, similar to what you're doing now. Kind of broke through.
He is a really, just really good dude. I've gotten to hang out with him and shotgun a few beers with him actually. which was, you know, made everybody, all my friends in Georgia jealous when I told him that. He is just a quality guy. That's for sure. Like I seriously enjoyed meeting him and, just kind of listening to him talk, and just his advice. Just a good guy, that's for sure.
Yeah. You heard the new Cole Swindell song? He co-wrote that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I actually heard about that before it came out. I was hanging out with Jordan Schmidt and Jared Mullins and Will Weatherly, and Jared was just like going on and on about the song that he'd heard recently, like just the demo of it, I think, and I think at the time. And it was that the White Claw line or whatever.
That's my favorite line from it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember him just like, he kept on like repeating the line all night. We were playing Golden Tee, at some bar, which I don't know if you know what Golden Tee is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. The golf game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the go-to game, in Nashville for our friend group. And I think probably for a lot of people, but, just especially, we just love going and having a couple drinks and playing some Golden Tee.
So that's Kyle Clark, little inside look there to close things out on a night out in Nashville amongst the songwriting community. And that's so cool, I think, to talk about that Cole Swindell song, because that's a song that I've really, really enjoyed lately, called Single Saturday Night. And I love that the White Claw line got brought up there, because that is such a great line. I think it might be one of the best lines of the year so far. He's got a bright future, you know, talking about that publishing deal. Very excited to see where his songs end up, who's going to cut them, where he's going to go. You know, maybe he will break out like Hardy and enter the mainstream as a singer. Hopefully, I know that's his goal. But for now, yeah, definitely that songwriting is going to get him through and make those connections. And it's a very solid, you know, standard way to come up in the industry. So definitely looking forward. I think he's got a very, very bright future. One to watch out for sure. Again, Kyle Clark, go check out his music on Spotify right now. If you haven't, you won't regret it. That EP, self-titled. So definitely one you don't want to miss. Once again, I'm Ike Everard, and you've been listening to Up in Country. Make sure you tune in again next week.
For more, make sure to check out Up in Country on Twitter and follow @Blaze_Country. New episodes coming every week, so make sure to